This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. As Birmingham prepares to mark the 50th anniversary of the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing, one unexpected observer of the commemoration is Chris McNair. His daughter was one of the four girls who died in the bombing. It's unexpected, though, because until last week, McNair was in federal prison serving a sentence for corruption from his time in the Jefferson County Commission. He was released after the Justice Department changed policies on compassionate release for sick and elderly inmates. It's a move that has AL.com and Birmingham News columnist John Archibald conflicted. He joins us now, as he does most Thursdays, and good to have you here, John.
Good to be here, Andrew.
Well, as I mentioned, the first line in Chris McNair's biography is the fact his daughter Denise died in that bombing. But he was also convicted on federal corruption charges. And for those who may not be familiar with that part of his life, kind of give us the overview.
Yeah, he was convicted of taking $850,000 in bribes, which, as anybody who has followed the Jefferson County sewer fiasco or had to wait in a line at a county tag renewal place knows has had a profound effect on this. I mean, not just that $850,000, but what it led to down the road.
Well, you write that you're not scandalized by the release, but you're not exactly celebrating it either. You kind of explain that tension.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, he did do some time for a white-collar crime. He did over 2 years of his time, and I do appreciate that. He is 87 years old. I do appreciate that. He has waited a long time for justice for his daughter, and I appreciate that. Justice came much quicker for him. But at the same time, he did profit more than any of our other corrupt public officials in Jefferson County, and that's saying a lot.
Well, this policy or this decision comes after this policy the Justice Department offered that changes how older and sick federal inmates are released, given compassionate release. Now, are your concerns just about the McNair case, or do you take issue with the policy itself?
I think, the policy I am concerned about, and I think it does send, particularly in a place like this, a message that, let's face it, most of the politicians we've had convicted are older people who and now they're all saying they're sick. And so many of those that are in prison are now looking to get out. So, I do think it sends a message that this is not a serious offense.
Oh, McNair's lawyer says that this was the result of many months of work. There were other prisoners released under the policy. Didn't have anything to do with the anniversary coming up, but you seem skeptical.
Well, I'm glad he's going to be out at the ceremony. He belongs there. He needs there. At a time in Birmingham when this happened, he was a calming influence, and he deserves to be there. But I do think it's disingenuous for them to say, oh, this is not about getting Chris McNair out. I mean, clearly a lot of things came together to make that work.
Well, you mentioned that every former Jefferson County official that was involved in these corruption scandals says that they're sick and old. One of them being former Mayor Larry Langford. When he was convicted on corruption charges, the thought was he would die in prison. Do you see this policy affecting his case?
Well, if it's applied across the board, it would have to. Of course, his sentence is much longer, although he profited much less. He has claimed that he is dying, whether, we're not actually allowed to see medical records or anything, so we don't know. But yeah, you would think that it would have, it would certainly give him and his family hope.
Well, I guess taking a step back, how do you strike this balance? Because it may be desirable to have someone to do their time for breaking the public trust, but after all, it costs money to keep these people in prison, to pay their medical bills, particularly when they're older.
Generally speaking, I do like some of the, the ideas to look at sentencing, and we do criminalize an awful lot of people in that way. But, when you violate the public trust, it's a different matter, and I do think that maybe that they should be looked at in a different way. That's a serious offense.
Well, also this morning, as students head back to school, they may be combing over their reading list looking for the slimmest titles. But if one state senator has his way, the Toni Morrison book, The Bluest Eyes, wouldn't be in any high school curriculum. John, explain what's been going on with State Senator Bill Holtzclaw and what he wants to do.
Well, it really goes back to the fact that Bill Holtzclaw, in my view, showed a little bit of reason when he refused to oppose Common Core curriculum, as a lot of his more conservative constituents wanted him to do. In Common Core, basically,
These are standards that developed the National Governors Association that many states are adopting.
Right, which basically, make sure that everybody is at least reaching a certain level. And so immediately after that, he caught some heat, and so he turned around and said, but this book doesn't need to be read because it, sex, violence, the whole thing. So that kind of changed the conversation.
Do you see it as just politics, or is this genuine?
Well, he may not like the book, but I think it's clearly a political move in order to kind of regain his conservative street cred.
Yeah, you don't seem too keen on the idea that he's pushing, though.
No, I'm never in favor of telling people what they can't read, what they shouldn't read, and I think that we fall into that trap far too often. People never get smarter from not reading a book.
Why shouldn't the state, particularly in public school settings, you know, set the rules of play, so to speak? You know, some people would be upset by creationist books being in science class, or be aghast over a book report about Twilight.
Sure. I mean, but you know, do you really want your state senators telling you what you can and can't read? I mean, it is a slippery slope, and it never ends well. I could go through this long list of books we've seen attempted bans on, and it is never a good idea.
John Archibald is a columnist for AL.com and the Birmingham News. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and online anytime. John, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.